Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve concludes his fake news series with the real inconvenient truth you don't want to miss.
Hitler's a bad person, so, well, I must be good compared to him. Here's the deal, though. We don't stand before God being compared to Hitler. We stand before God being compared to Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. Well, wait a minute. All of a sudden, I'm compared to Jesus. Well, Jesus is without sin. Jesus is perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not without sin. Bingo, that's right. And you're not good because no one is good except God alone. And Jesus is God. Therefore, Jesus is good, but you're not good. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And hell will be filled with quote unquote good people.
What Pastor Jeff Shreve just mentioned is a terrifying thought, that hell will be filled with good people. And perhaps that alarming truth is why so many people, even church people, don't want to talk about hell. It's rather inconvenient. But that's the subject of today's final lesson on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve and his series, Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. Our Lord spoke repeatedly of the disturbing matter of hell, and as we learned last time, it's a topic that even some preachers steer clear of from the pulpit. But even so, a sorely needed topic in our world. The message today is entitled, The Real Inconvenient Truth, and we had part one last time. If you missed it, you can listen again online at fromhisheart.org. Click the radio tab. You can also there download a free MP3 of any broadcast, as well as the individual sermon outlines from Pastor Jeff. And this series is also our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount this month. You can get it on CD, DVD, USB, or MP3 download when you make your gift this month. Again, go to fromhisheart.org. Now, though, open your Bible to chapter 12 of Luke, and here's Pastor Jeff to close out this timely series and the last message about the real inconvenient truth.
So what does the Bible tell us about hell? Three discoveries that I want to share with you today. Discovery number one, hell is a real place. It's a real place. It's not a figment of someone's imagination. It's not a concoction of some evangelist who's trying to scare people so he can get them into walking the aisle or making decision. Hell is a real place. It's a real place. And Jesus believed in it. And Jesus talked about it. And Jesus preached on the horrors of it. So this real place, what is it like there in hell? Four characteristics of hell. Four particulars of the place called hell. Particular number one, hell is a place of eternal fire. Eternal fire. That's how Jesus described it. Mark chapter 9, he says this, and if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter life crippled than to having two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire where their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. It's the unquenchable fire. He also called it eternal fire. He called it the furnace of fire. He called it the lake of fire. It's a place of eternal fire. Secondly, it's a place of outer darkness. Three times in the Gospels, Jesus, when talking about that place, described it as a place of outer darkness. Outer darkness makes me think of the ninth plague that came upon the Egyptians when God began to rain down plagues on the Egyptians and on Pharaoh. The ninth plague was the plague of darkness. And the Lord said, I'm going to send a darkness on the land of Egypt for 3 days, even a darkness which may be felt. A darkness that you could feel. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. That's how the Lord describes hell. It's a place of eternal fire, but it's also a place of outer darkness. Thirdly, it's a place of awful sounds. Jesus, when he would describe this place, he said that it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. What happens in hell? There's weeping, there is wailing, and there's gnashing of the teeth because people are in pain and people are angry and are enraged at God for doing this to them. And then it's also a place, number four, of eternal death. Eternal death. Revelation chapter 20 calls hell the lake of fire, the second death. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if any man's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, death is not annihilation. Some people think, well, you know, when you die, that's it. And, you know, hell doesn't really exist. You just die and then you cease to exist. But that's not what Jesus said. Because in Luke chapter 12, he said, hey, don't fear those who can kill the body, but then they're done. They can't do anything else. You fear the one who can kill the body and the soul in hell. That's the one to fear. Why did Jesus talk about hell? Because hell's a real place and he doesn't want anybody to go there. He didn't want anybody to go there. But people do go there. It's not only a real place. Hell is a populated place. And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Based on that scripture, Matthew chapter 7, the majority of people, the many, are on the broad road that leads to destruction. Few are on the narrow road that leads to life. So hell is a populated place. Revelation chapter 21, the Lord is speaking and he's talking about the eternal state and he's talking about the wonders of heaven that his servants will see his face. And he says in verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit these things and I will be his God and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Who are the people who are going to be in hell? First category, the bad people. Hell will be filled with bad people, murderers, abominable, liars, idolaters, sorcerers, the bad people. And most of us think in our minds, well, that's right. I mean, that's where bad people need to go. I mean, Adolf Hitler, should he go to heaven for killing 6 million Jews? No, he deserves the fires of hell. That's how our minds think. And he will be there. Hell is filled with the Hitlers and the Herods. Hell is filled with the Jezebels and the Judases. Hell is filled with the Neros and the Nimrods, the people who are just out and out against God and trying to destroy the things of God and committing all kinds of atrocities. You know, when it says in Revelation 21:8, the abominable, that word literally means to stink. It's the foul person, the detestable person who is just so wicked and so vile and so foul. They're going to be there in hell. The bad people will be there. And we say, well, yeah, that makes sense. Bad people are there. But here is the issue. Not only will hell be filled with bad people, but hell will be filled with good people. Good people in quotes. Good people in quotes. Why is it in quotes? Because there are no good people. The rich young ruler asked Jesus one day, he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There is none good except God alone. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, not even one. So how many good people are there? Zero. Zero. But we use the term good person to compare this guy to Hitler. Hitler's a bad person. This person, in comparison to Hitler, well, he's a good person. I mean, can you get a worse example than Hitler? No. So, well, I must be good compared to him. Here's the deal, though. We don't stand before God being compared to Hitler. We stand before God being compared to Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. Well, wait a minute. All of a sudden, I'm compared to Jesus. Well, Jesus is without sin. Jesus is perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not without sin. Bingo. That's right. And you're not good because no one is good except God alone, and Jesus is God. Therefore, Jesus is good, but you're not good. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. And hell will be filled with quote unquote good people. Caiaphas in hell. Annas, his father-in-law, in hell. The scribes, the Pharisees, so many of them, the ones who stirred up the crowd to say of Jesus, crucify him, not this man, but Barabbas. They're gonna all be there. Now, if you had polled the people in Jerusalem and say, hey, are these people good people, your religious leaders? They'd say, of course they're good people. They're very good people. They're self-righteous people. Self-righteous people. In every church, you have self-righteous people. People that trust in themselves, think that they are good enough by themselves to get to heaven. Do they believe in Jesus? They acknowledge Jesus. But they don't trust in Jesus. They trust in themselves. They trust in their good works. They trust in their baptism. They trust in their giving certificates. They trust in their Sunday school class. They trust in being a deacon. They trust in something that they do. They trust in themselves. This is what the scripture says concerning that. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You don't get to heaven by the works of the law. You don't get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. You can't do it anyway. You know the purpose of the Ten Commandments, don't you? The reason God gave the Ten Commandments, it says in Galatians chapter 3, the purpose of the law is to lead us to Christ. The purpose of the law is to show you, hey, you can't do it. God's standard is perfection and you can't do it and you come up short and woe is me for I am undone. The purpose of the law is to show you that you're a sinner and you're lost and you desperately need Jesus. The law has become our tutor, the scripture says, to lead us to Christ. But the good people will be there. You know, everybody has an aunt or an uncle or a neighbor down the street or whatever. And boy, they're just so sweet and they're just so good. And they have a little dog or a little cat and they're nice. They're nice neighbors. They check on your house for you. And we say, well, surely they're not going to go to hell. Surely no way could they go to hell because they're good people. I like what Adrian Rogers says. The worst form of badness is human goodness. When that human goodness becomes a substitute for the new birth experience. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the most moral man of his day, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. I don't care how good you are, Nicodemus, you have to be perfect because heaven is a perfect place and no sin is allowed in heaven, and that leaves every good person, quote unquote, out. And then lastly, hell will be filled with all unbelieving people. What's the common denominator of everyone mentioned in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8? See, not everyone is a murderer. Not everyone is immoral. Not everyone is a sorcerer. Not everyone is an idolater. Not everyone is a liar. Not everyone is an abominable person. Not everyone is cowardly. But everyone is guilty of the sin of unbelief. That's the only people that go to hell are those who won't believe in Jesus. They believe in themselves or they believe in their doctrine or they believe in something else. They believe in some false god. They're unbelievers when it comes to Jesus. Jesus said this in John chapter 3, verse 18. He who believes in him, speaking of the Son, is not judged. But he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Listen, there is one remedy for sin. Not two, not three, not four, not 10, one. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And you can't get there. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the only way. So hell is a populated place. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many are those who are on the broad road. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But here's the good news. The good news. Hell is an avoidable place. It's a real place, real terrible, horrible place. It's a populated place, but it's an avoidable place. Good news right here. No one has to go to hell. No one has to go to hell. The Lord doesn't want people to go to hell. It's an avoidable place. John 3:16 has been called the gospel in a nutshell. It's probably one of the most familiar verses in all of the Bible. People that don't know much of the Bible, they're familiar with John 3:16. They may not know exactly what it says, but they see it a lot. You know, I think it was Tim Tebow that put it under his eye black, and he put John 3:16 there, and you see it at ball games and things like that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And verse 17, for God did not send the son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. God looked down at the world, going the way of Adam and Eve, turning against God, not obeying God, going in their own way. As the scripture says in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. You know, sin is not necessarily shaking your fist in the face of God and saying, I will not follow you and you're not big enough to make me follow you. Sin is just doing your own thing. It's just neglecting God. It's just saying, maybe later, I'm going to do my own thing. It's the picture of the prodigal son who said, see you, Dad, I'm going to go find my own way. That is sin. And God saw that we were wandering aimlessly and going after our own thing, and he sent his son. He said, these people are perishing, and I don't want them to perish because I don't want anyone to go to hell. And so I'm going to send my son, and my son will be the sacrifice for their sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, watch it, should not perish. Should not perish. What does that tell you? That tells you that you're perishing, that I'm perishing, that we're perishing. Apart from Christ, we're all perishing. You know, some people get the idea that, well, that, you know, this idea of hell, you know, I don't believe that a loving God would ever send anyone to hell. And I don't believe that God would ever create a hell. And, you know, if the Supreme Court of the United States of America could vote on it, they would outlaw hell as cruel and unusual punishment. But they can't vote on it. It's not given for them to vote. And so people say, well, I don't understand that. It just doesn't wash with a good God. But what they don't see is that every single person comes into this world and they're perishing. They come into this world with a disease called sin. And that sin is going to kill them and separate them from God forever. And if God doesn't intervene, that's what's going to happen. They're on the broad road and it leads to destruction. And that's where everyone is going. And if God doesn't do anything, that's what happens. But so what does God do? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God says, I'm going to put a cross right in the middle of the broad road. And if a man, a woman, a boy, or girl ends up going to hell, they'll have to trip over the cross of Jesus Christ to get there. Here's the good news. If you come to Jesus, you will never go to hell. If you come to Jesus, you will never go to hell. What did Jesus come to do? To save us. To save us from what? From our sins. You shall call his name, the angel said to Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. What does sin do? Sin kills and sends you to hell. That's what sin does. The soul that sins shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. But if you come to Jesus, he'll take your sin away. And you don't have to deal with that. Jesus would look out on the crowd, say, come to me, come to me, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. Come to me. And the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, it says this in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let those who hear this say, come. Let those who are thirsty come. Let those who want the water of life take it as a gift. The water of life without cost. Come, come, come. You can come to him. And if you come to Jesus, you will never go to hell. But now watch this. If you reject Jesus, if you neglect Jesus, if you blow him off, All that's left for you is hell. All that's left for you is hell. Why? Because you're on the broad road that leads to destruction. Now, the Lord said in Luke chapter 12, verse 5, that we're to fear him who has authority to cast into hell. And he does have authority to cast into hell, but I want you to notice this. God does not really send anyone to hell. You send yourself to hell. You send yourself to hell. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you end up in hell, it's because you rejected God and his sacrifice and his plan for your life. You're on the broad road and you saw the cross and you just stepped aside and kept on going to the way of destruction. And what a lost person says who rejects Christ is, I'd rather have my sin than God's son. They did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, but they took pleasure in wickedness. And God says, not my will, but yours be done. Listen, three objectives. That you'd know the truth, that hell is a horrible, awful place, and that's where the majority of this world is going without Jesus. Second objective, that you would do what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Are you trusting in yourself, or are you really and truly trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation? And I would say to you today, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears come, and let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost come. Today is the day for you to come. And then objective number three, that we would have a burden for people who don't know Christ, that we would want to see them come, that we would cry tears for lost family members and friends and people we work with and people we live next door to that don't know Jesus and we've never talked to them about Jesus and they're one heartbeat away from hell, and that we'd have a broken heart for them. Would you let God take this message and do a work in your heart?
Do you have a burden for the lost who stand in danger of this inconvenient truth of hell? Or maybe you know that you're not a child of God and you yourself stand in peril of the judgment of God. Would you like to come to the Lord today, place your faith in him for eternal life? You can do that. You can choose to do that, making a decision to turn from your sin and ask Jesus sincerely from the bottom of your heart to make you new again. When you come to him in repentance and faith, you will be a new person. You'll want to serve him. An appreciation will sink deeply into your being, and you will be a child of God. This decision will discard the fake news you've fallen for and help you know that you are created to serve God through Christ. It is your purpose for living. Find out more about what I'm talking about and what Pastor Jeff Shreve has said today. Go to fromhisheart.org. And click the Why Jesus link on our homepage. You'll find lots of material there to help you in your journey. If you've been listening all month, we've now aired all the messages in Pastor Jeff's 8-message series, Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. All 8 unedited lessons are available on CDs, DVDs, a USB flash drive, or as an immediate MP3 download as our gift to you for your support from His Heart this month of any amount. Call 866-40-BIBLE to make your gift this month, or go online to fromhisheart.org and we'll send you the Fake News series. Again, that's 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org. Well, I'm Larry Nobles, and thank you for joining us today. We hope that you'll be with us next time for another powerful, encouraging, and convicting lesson from Pastor Jeff as he opens up God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart, here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.